And we'll be in Jude, of course, finishing up the study. For you who have been here, I preached the first message, John preached the second and third, and I get to preach the last one. So I get the good part. So we'll look at Jude and begin with verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Well, as we see these certain exhortations here at the end of the chapter, we are reminded of the message that in the last time mockers would appear, following their own ungodly lusts. I guess we're reminded of today, aren't we? And we look at the situation today in the world, and we would say, well, certainly there are many who are mockers against the Scriptures. We find that Christianity today seems to be, certainly in the public square, looked upon with a very much disdain within the public square. I suppose it's not even very politically correct to be a Christian within the realm of politics today. Nobody seems to ascribe to it very heavily. We had one Mormon that ran for president, but we don't see many real Christians coming out, do we, running for president. And we're reminded that publicly in the public schools, Christianity has taken a big hit. In fact, I think more recently in Colorado, there is a case now that is going perhaps to court where a bunch of students wanted usually meet in, I think it's in the afternoon, to have a Bible study and to have a prayer time together. And now they're crying out separation of church and state against these students, requiring that they can't even, in their own personal private time, do this. And it's interesting, you know, the Muslims can throw down a rug anywhere and cry out Allah, and you know, various other groups can sit down on the floor and cross their legs and hold their fingers together in a certain pose and do yoga classes together, which is actually a kind of spiritual religious practice that they don't like to talk about. And various other kinds of beliefs, even atheists can meet together and have their little protests and so on. But when Christians try to get together for prayer, well, it's, you know, it's just not something that they want to have happening. So in the last time, mockers would appear following their own ungodly lusts. And it seems like more and more those who call themselves Christians want to follow, even they want to follow ungodly lusts and desires. So-called, quote-unquote, Christians. I mean, they may not be the genuine article, but they call themselves that. So to this testimony, Jude now adds the explanation that these scoffers have three prominent characteristics that he mentions. That they are sensual persons, which means that they act and think after the natural man. They cause divisions, that is, drawing disciples after themselves and dividing people, and so on, creating an apostasy, a turning away from the faith. So they are sensual, they cause divisions, James says. and they do not have the Spirit of God. They do not have the Spirit of God. And so James talks about these, verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. And so what is it that we may say of them? They were never born from above. In reality, they never were born from above. They never were born of God, and therefore have a total incapacity, we would say, to understand the things of God. And of course, as you have been studying through the book of James, you have seen those certain examples of them that were given by James. The believer's resource, of course, is to stay close to the Lord. We have to develop such a relationship with Christ that we stay close to the Lord, that we don't become overtaken by mockers and by those who follow their own sensual desires and by those who are not of the Spirit of God. We should have our spiritual antenna, as it were, pretty tuned to the right kind of following. That is, to follow those things which are truly of God and of His Spirit. And so we are to stay close to the Lord and live in that fellowship which is in Christ alone. We may be able to pick out probably at least four things from the closing remarks that Jude gives here, concerning how we might establish ourselves in fortify ourselves, if you will, against these things that he has brought up. First of all, he says, verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." What is the first thing we should do? We should build ourselves up in the faith. We should build ourselves up in the faith. Find that it's necessary to continue very strongly on this matter of building up ourselves in the faith. There are just so many things that can come against us. We need to arm ourselves against those things that are around about us. There are many schisms and isms, if you will. There are many humanistic teachings. There are many philosophies of men. There are many practices which have to do with the world, and of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We certainly know that our adversaries are many, and we must build ourselves up in our most holy faith. And how might we do that? We must study the Bible. We must study the Word of God. I trust that you are aware that the Bible is so important to us that if we do not have it in our hearts and in our minds, we're more apt to slip. We're more apt to stumble along the way. And so we must have the Word of God built up within us through a proper study and obedience to the Word of God. Now, I know some people would say, "Oh, that's very boring, to be studying the Bible all the time. There's so many rules and regulations you have to live up to. I can't do it. I can't do that. I must have a little bit of freedom." But we find that the true freedom that we have is a freedom that is in Christ. It is a freedom which is free from sin. It is a freedom which is to live within the boundaries which God gives to us. that we might be under his most holy care and protecting graces. It is a freedom that we find most dear and precious to us, because we are kept from the evil one by the power of the Spirit of God. And like Job, a hedge is placed about those who love him and follow him. And only the devil can get to you if God permits it. If God permits it. Oh, you mean, you may say, well, Pastor, I've been under the attack of Satan many times. Well, there are many temptations. There are many trials and temptations. And remember what James says about that, that when we are drawn away unto those temptations, it's of our own lustful desires we are drawn away. God doesn't send those things to us that we might be drawn away. No, those are quite adequately of our own making. So God does keep us within his loving care and protecting graces. We are under the shadow of his wings. Those who draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to them. That's what the scripture says. And so we must build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Building up ourselves in the Word of God, and by studying the Word of God, the familiarity with the Word of God, and the righteous warnings of the Word of God, that we might be kept from error, and that we may know when there is false teaching around. And so it is important that we give heed to these things, especially the building up of our most holy faith in the Word of God. Secondly, as it says in this verse, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So the second thing is praying in the Holy Spirit. First one, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Second one, praying in the Holy Spirit. And this means to pray as guided by the Spirit in accordance with the will of God as revealed in the Bible. Praying as guided by the Holy Spirit and in the will of God according to the Bible. Someone may say, well, what is the will of God for my life? Well, let's begin with what the Bible has to say. There is much there that already we have knowledge of in the Word of God. That we should believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That we should give heed to the doctrines of Christ. That we should remember to obey the Scriptures. That we might give ourselves to prayer and to fasting. That we might give ourselves to being filled with the Spirit and live out in our lives the fruits of the Spirit. That we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That we should continue in faith. That we should quench not the Spirit. The list goes on and on and on, and all of these can be just drawn from the Scripture as you read and study the Word of God for yourself. And so we see there are many things that we can know of the will of God. Praying in the Spirit of God. And of course, we know that the revealed Spirit of God shows to us those things which we need to improve upon. And so we must give heed to the Spirit's leading, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Certainly, being filled with the Spirit of God is more important than being filled with the spirits of the world. And so it is, the Spirit of God is that one which is important in our lives. In fact, we find God the Holy Spirit is the one who brings salvation to us, John chapter 3. God the Holy Spirit is the one who was given when that Jesus promised would come, John chapter 14 through 16, and that Comforter would come as a ministering agent unto us to guide us, to teach us, to infill us, to give us the holy unctioning from on high, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 through 27, that God, the Holy Spirit, would be that one to even aid us in prayer, Romans chapter 8, and how that it is important that we recognize that we then yield to the Spirit of God, to allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. And so praying in the Holy Spirit. We pray in the Holy Spirit, realizing that the Spirit of God is with us. The Spirit of God indwells us. The Spirit of God baptizes us into the family of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so we find that this baptism of the Spirit of God, where we are brought into the family of God, then the Spirit of God is in us. What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to God. And so we find that God the Holy Spirit is in us, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we therefore must yield to the Spirit of God. And so it is also that there are the fruits of the Spirit, which yield to us those evidences. And so let us build up ourselves in our most holy faith. Let us pray in the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, we find that we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. Look into verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I think perhaps we might say here is the need of preserving grace, that we might stay true to the Lord. How can we keep ourselves in the love of God? But by a perseverance in our faith. God has already loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins. God is the one who is the author of our salvation. John chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 and verse 10. And other related passages. And so we know that God loves us. We know that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But what does he want us to do to keep ourselves in the love of God? But to stay in that communion and fellowship with Christ. And so here is that perseverance of which we must take part. Sanctification is that part which begins with God, but then he requires of us that we might progressively stay within that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that we might be progressively sanctified, ongoingly sanctified. And so the perseverance of the saints indicates to us that those who are truly of his, those who are truly Christians, will persevere in faith. They will remain true, even through trials and tribulations and sufferings which they go through, or through various temptations and certain other things which may, at other times, be hard to bear. And so it is, keep yourself in the love of God. And so here the love of God can be related to in that sense that we are to keep us in that relationship to Christ that will ever keep us looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. And so we need to live our lives according to holiness and godliness. And how do we do? How do we live a holy and a godly life but live true to God's word? Live true to that faith by which we have been called, and by living and loving our Savior, living the Savior out in our lives, loving the Savior into our lives, and being confessing him as we ought to. As the I believe the hymn writer said, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream, nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Charles A. Tindley. We have that hymn in our hymnal. And the hymns offer to us a great resource that we can draw from. They remind us of the spiritual life and ministry of the Spirit of God, and of how God has preserved his saints over the many years and centuries, and have blessed them and kept them in the love of God. Finally, we should be eagerly looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's the last one here in verse 21. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, when does that come to pass? Well, probably at the either when we die, that we might know that we will be with him upon death, because to depart and to go with the Lord is much desired for us as believers, because we will be with him, for we shall see him as he is. And then there is that second aspect of it, we may be alive at the time of his appearing, when he comes again. And if we are, we will be most joyful to be taken up to be with him in glory. And we will appreciate that great work of grace which he has done for us. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And so it is, his mercy will be more evidence to us at that time, for we shall see much of his grace and of his mercy in his taking us to be with him. That we will not go to him in judgment, but rather we will go to him in blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be planted like a tree by the rivers of waters. And those rivers of waters, those eternal blessings which God gives, will be ours to enjoy and to appreciate. And so this is the fourth area that he speaks to here. In verse 22, some closing remarks, and some have compassion, making a difference. We certainly ought to have compassion on others. We might say, well, some of those that are wayward, some of those who have fallen to false doctrine, some of those who have not been discerning and have been somehow taken up in the things of the world and the lust of the flesh and the desires of it. Should we not have compassion on them? Yes, we should. And should we not seek to make a difference in their lives, that we might make a impact upon them? Yes, we should. Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even their garments spotted by the flesh. Perhaps we get here a glimpse of judgment. Some are that near to judgment that they may be overtaken by the fire of judgment, by judgment itself. Save that we might have some effect upon them, that we might snatch them, as it were, from the flames because of our great desire to, our great abiding desire to be built up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves unspotted, but and in the love of God, and in the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, that hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And there is that element that some do wear garments that are spotted by fleshly desires. Our desire should be to live for Christ. His concluding statement, this doxology, if you will, that is given at the end of the chapter here, in verse 24, Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And so it is that we find these final words here in Jude, as those words of benediction, when Jude closes with this very flowing statement which he gives concerning those things which are of God and in Christ Jesus, and those preserving graces which he establishes to us. And so Jude closes with this beautiful benediction. It is the ascription of praise and worship that he is able to save us, that he is able to establish us, that he is able to aid us, that he is able to subdue, that he is able to keep us in perfect peace, that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. And he is exceedingly able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so God is able. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. There's little that we can add to such a benediction that Jude gives, one which is very praiseworthy of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our relationship to God and of God's willingness to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And so let us give thanks to God. Shall we bow together in prayer? Loving Father, we do thank you for your word to us. Thank you, Father, for these things. Pray, Lord, your ministry of your Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, the building up of our most holy faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts. Pray, Lord, that you will keep us and preserve us and bless us. For you are the one who is able to keep us from falling. And we thank you for that, Lord, that we may call upon you at any time and know that thou art near. And so we commit our way to you, Father, praying and seeking your mercy, that we may know and experience that eternal grace of our loving Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, who will save us unto eternal glories. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.